You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to Mid-Mornings on Civic Media. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host, your buddy, your pal, and a huge, huge fan of buffets. So let's talk about that for a while, I'll tell you. But you are here on the show. We are happy you are here sharing your time with us. We are with you until 11 a.m. But after that, please stick around because there's Tom Hartman from 11 to 2. We got John and Gordy in the afternoon from 2 to 5. And then, of course, Pete Schwabba on Nightlight from 5 to 8. And I will be his guest from at 5:35 tonight. So you want to stick around. If you can't watch on the live stream, you can always listen to it on terrestrial radio or get that Civic Media app. Again, it's absolutely free. See what I did there? That's a pun for you on a Friday morning. Download it, listen to it anywhere you'd like, and you can hear everything we have to offer here at Civic Media, not just talk, but we also have music stations. You can find news there, and you can text, you can call, and you can leave a voice note, and you don't even have to like me to do that. But it's all right there for you on the Civic Media app. Download it for yourself today for $0, absolutely free. At 10:35, we are going to have ourselves a discussion in Audio Sorbet about what in the new year haven't you gotten to yet? Not in the resolutions, but so much about the, you know, couple of days off, I was going to fix the garage, or I was going to, you know, do some housework, or I was going to whatever, you know, whatever that may be. What is your to-do list you need to knock out before, let's say, January is over so you feel like an accomplished adult? But that's going to be at 10:35 with Audio Sorbet. And then we wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, as always. And we hope that you stick around, and we're really appreciating, as we said, you being our listener, guest, and friend. So let's move along with our next guest. Our next guest is the dining critic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She has been their critic since June of 2023. She explores Milwaukee through food, reviewing new restaurants, revisiting the city's best, sharing restaurant news, and telling the story of the chefs, staff, and dishes that shape the city's dining scene. That person, the dining critic, is Miss Rachel Bernard. Rachel, good morning. How are you today? Bernhard.
I get Bernard a lot, so no problem. I'm great. How are you?
I'm well. I'm very happy you could be here with us on a Friday. And I have a lot of questions just because I think what your job is seems like amazing to me. Like your job is to, you know, it's not just, you know, I grew up in a certain time with certain kinds of media, and my idea of a dining or restaurant critic was always very stuffy, in a suit with a bow tie, writing in a notebook, and all of the staff going, do they like the food we made? And it's all hindering on this one thing. And then, of course, it was comedy, so it was hijinks and a cake got in someone's face. But tell us, as the dining critic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Rachel, what is your job? Like, what do you do exactly?
So it's a lot of things. Mm-hmm. It of course is checking out new restaurants.
Yeah.
You know, if anything is on my radar, I'm going to go to it. You know, I leave a little bit of time after they open. So, you know, I wait a little, like 4 weeks, yeah. But yeah, so I'm checking out new restaurants. I'm going back to old favorites and, you know, seeing how they're holding up or if anything's changed. I'm sharing about, you know, restaurant openings and closings. Talking to a lot of chefs and just seeing like what's changing and what's coming to our dining scene too.
And I think that's something that I wanted to bring up too. And in the show notes today, I'm actually going to put your page on the JS Online there so people can see the stories that you've worked on in the past. And I think that's the big, you know, maybe the difference between, you know, what I described from a media standpoint, from TV and movies, to what you do, is that it's not just about going around trying a little food and then saying I liked it or I didn't like it. You're really exposing the readers and the watchers to the community and the restaurants and the experiences. And it's not just about what you like, but it's also about sometimes there's heartbreak. A place is closing. Sometimes a place is opening. You know, you are a journalist and you are bringing that community to the people. I think that's very interesting and in how you do that. What is that what you came to? Is that was the job, or have you crafted this to like what you wanted to say in your voice?
You know, it's interesting because as I came onto the job, you know, traditional food journalism was really changing. So, you know, I think there was that perception the way it used to be, you know, with the very stuffy food critic who was anonymous. You know, as you can see, I'm not anonymous anymore as my predecessors were. But things are changing. And I think food journalism now, especially with the rise of, you know, everyone on TikTok and Instagram sharing their opinions, you know, there's a shift.
They're called experts, Rachel. They're called experts.
And they have, I mean, they do such a good job at getting people out to new places, and they do amazing things with that. But where my job differs a little bit is, you know, I'm going into the restaurants and getting really detailed about the service, the flavors of the dishes, you know, who else, like the vibe of the restaurant, like what else is going around. So there is a little bit of, you know, stepping into the modern era, but still looking through, looking at food through a critical lens as well. And, you know, telling the stories through words rather than, you know, video, which I am starting to do that a little bit more too.
Well, and that leads me to another point I wanted to ask about is your experience before this job, because, you know, when you talk about the food, you do, you know, when we watch these, whether they're TikTok videos, what we watch cooking shows, they're always talking about very specific, very nuanced flavors, combinations, things of that, you know. And for me personally, I feel like I don't have that. Like if you put something in front of me and be like, I like this, but I can't be like, I can really taste the cardamom. I'll never say that in my life. What is your training, your experience? Where do you come from with that ability to eat food and find the nuances therein that makes you excited to talk about it?
So it's kind of funny. Like, I didn't come from a family that, you know, we always love to go out to eat, but, you know, is a typical Midwest family. So we just had typical Midwest food. But I really, you know, started branching out when I was in college, like most of us do, and, you know, trying different kinds of cuisine that I hadn't before, and just really fell in love with different cultures through food and, you know, the different stories and experiences that food brings. So before this job, I actually worked as an editor at a cooking magazine for about 10 years. It's called Taste of Home magazine. It's a national magazine. And while I was there, I would go into the test kitchen and judge recipes, offer feedback, you know, really, really taste things through a critical lens and decide whether they were good enough to publish in the magazine. So with all that experience, you know, I wanted to turn that to, you know, I love Milwaukee and the dining scene so much here. So rather than, you know, kind of being behind the scenes, I wanted to lift up Milwaukee in that way and use kind of like, you know, my taste and critical thinking, you know, to support Milwaukee restaurants.
And that's something, you know, this is a program that goes out all over the state. And I would, you know, I would ask you then, for folks living outside the area who want to make a trip to Milwaukee and want to put restaurants on that list of things to do and to experience, what are some of the ones that you'd let, you know, that really just pop for you in the last year? You're like, you want to come to Milwaukee? You got to try this. Go here for this. Is there anything on that you're just like, I got to talk about this place?
Yeah. You know, of course, that's the biggest question I get all the time. And
I thought I asked an original one.
But I think it means, you know, it's different for different tastes. Mm-hmm. Whenever I get asked that question, I always say, well, what are you feeling?
Yeah.
What neighborhoods do you want to spend time in? You know, like, what kind of food do you like? Because we really do have a rich and diverse scene, but you have to get out there and explore. It's not all going to be downtown. It's not all even going to be in places like Bayview or Walker's Point. Although those are some of the hottest neighborhoods for restaurants now. But, you know, in the last year, there was a new restaurant in Bayview that absolutely blew my mind. And it's called Mother's. It's in the historic White House building. On KK.
Yes.
And I began the year, they had a pop-up for about a month in the previous Ardent space after Ardent had closed last year.
Oh man, that was heartbreaking.
That was a bummer.
Yes.
That was
the fanciest meal I've ever had in my life, Rachel. Fanciest meal.
but they never made it feel pretentious at the same time. That's what I loved about them.
That's an important. Okay, really quick. Well, I want to talk about I want to talk about that one moment. We went to Arden for my anniversary, my 5th year anniversary, and I saved for this because it was an expensive experience, and it was worth the money. Not just because the food was amazing, but because the culture and the atmosphere. The owner of the restaurant came and sat down and drank wine with us and talked about the place. There was no pretension, and I think that's something also very much missing. Because in movies and TV shows, we see these psychopath chefs who their lives are led by this one mission. But there are also these great chefs out there who are like, yeah, just have a drink with me. And let's talk about how my mom makes the napkins. So sorry, I'm sad that Arden is gone, but go on this pop-up in that you're talking about.
No, but this is the perfect segue because Vanessa Rose, the owner and chef of Mother's, was a sous chef at Ardent and her pop-ups started at Ardent. On Sundays, she would bring her, like Justin Carlisle, who is the owner of Ardent. Mm-hmm. He would open up his restaurant on Sundays and give her a platform to share her food.
It's amazing.
So yeah. I mean, we have a really supportive chef community in Milwaukee. They really want to help out other chefs. So anyway, in June, Vanessa was able to open her restaurant called Mother's, and it's fantastic. I was so excited for it because I had been to her pop-ups, and it's some of the most creative, like wild food I've mm-hmm. tried. And it was my favorite opening of 2025, and everyone needs to go.
So when you say creative and wild, when you say that, what is that? What did you see that made you go, oh my goodness? Because you eat food for a living, you judge food for a living, that is part of your job resume, and to me, if someone can make a food critic say, whoa, what is it about that food that made you say that?
Well, it's kind of, the menu is unlike anything I've seen in the city. So it is shareable small plates, mm-hmm. which I don't think are going away anytime soon. So we have a lot of those restaurants around Milwaukee, but it's the flavor combinations that you would not think would go together. Like she's making like a chicken tikka gnocchi and putting like black mustard seed over top. There's these like Madeira mushrooms, these like roasty mushrooms, with the frito. It's really, it's comforting, but unlike anything you've ever tasted.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, what was the name of the restaurant? Mother's, you said?
Mother's.
And,
yes.
And if you have the chance to go there too, the building is beautiful. It's historic. It's like over 100 years old. And I hope the best for them because I know that a lot of restaurants have tried in that location. It's a beautiful place, very well located. So maybe I should put that on my list. We are speaking to Rachel Bernhard, who is the dining critic from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about being a dining critic here in Milwaukee and what she looks for in, you know, great experiences. And when we come back from the break, I want to talk about what you're looking at in 2026. So, personal tastes of yours, and I have a question that I've always wanted to ask a dining critic with regard to just wanting to go out and have a burger. So more with Rachel Bernhard, who is our guest on Mornings with Mid-Mornings on Civic Media here. Don't go anywhere. If you have any questions, comments, what are your favorite restaurants around your area? I'm always looking for cool places in Wisconsin to eat, but you can do that by calling, texting 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream, but go grab some water, grab a snack, come back. It's important to stay hydrated. My name is Greg Bach, your host, your buddy, your food enthusiast pal, and you are here. Stay tuned, stay informed, and stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Mid-Mornings on Civic Media. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host, your buddy, your pal, and like Jenny on the live stream, a Chinese buffet enthusiast, as she said on the live stream. She's never met a Chinese buffet she didn't love and obey. We are talking right now with Rachel Bernhard, who is the dining critic from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about the job, what entails, how she interacts and uplifts the community through her experience eating at the restaurants that are in our community. And we're talking just briefly about, you know, what goes into the job and the job is telling us about what you're seeing and tell us in 2026, are there new trends you see coming, whether it's dishes or styles of restaurants, how people are experiencing their food? What is on the docket for you for the new year?
Yeah, so it's been really exciting in the last couple of years to see how diverse our food scene is getting. And that's going to be the case in 2026 mm-hmm. too. So, you know, I think in the last couple of years, we've seen like a big boom in Korean food.
Yeah.
And that's going to continue, I believe. One of my favorite discoveries last year was this place called Soban in Hale's Corners. And it's basically like the Chipotle of Korean food, but it's locally owned. It's owned by, you know, a very sweet family. Mm-hmm. And they're opening a location downtown on Milwaukee Street this winter. So very excited for that to come downtown too. I think we're going to be seeing, I mean, this year we're going to get so many different varieties of Japanese restaurants as well. So, you know, last year we had the opening of Cute Robot Japanese Kitchen in Walker's Point. It's so great. It's like, it's so comforting and fun in there. Love that restaurant. And we're going to get more Japanese comfort food and street food in 2026 too. On Brady Street, the owners of Kawa, the sushi and ramen restaurant, are opening like a Japanese comfort restaurant across the street from Glorioso's. We're going to get our first, the conveyor belt sushi restaurant. Yes, Sushi Bay.
Oh boy!
They have one location in Kenosha, and they're opening downtown. Hopefully, sometime this winter.
I live in Kenosha. What are we talking about? There's a
really?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. I have never been to Sushi Bay in Kenosha, but I'm very excited about them coming to downtown, and then we're gonna get our second omakase sushi restaurant. Nakama is going to be opening up where the old like, Interval coffee shop was, kind of between downtown and the east side. So, lots of exciting stuff coming up there.
That's exciting. I love sushi. I just looked it up. It's like, oh yeah, I know exactly where that is. I passed it so many times. I didn't really read the name. And there's another sushi place in Kenosha I want to check out as well. I can't remember their name off the top of my head. And I won't say their name unless I like them, but that's not the point. No one cares what I like. The point is, for me, Rachel, is something I've always wrestled with. Anybody who has a job, which is to continually take part in a thing that we all do, whether it's a dining critic or a movie critic or a television or a book, like I can go to a place that would get one star, but I really love. What is it like for you as someone who is paid and you're an expert and you have a defined palate when you're just like, I just want a greasy cheeseburger? Are you able to one, find that and two, enjoy it? Or is your brain always on to that like thing of I'm taking it in, I'm you know, contextualizing the flavors and whatnot. Can you just give me a sloppy piece of pizza, please?
Greg, I am a trash food enthusiast. a cheeseburger is probably my favorite food.
Yeah.
I go to Taco Bell. I love trash food.
Yeah.
Just as much as I love fancy food too.
Okay.
So I absolutely love finding those kind of like junky, greasy spots as much as I do the fine dining spaces.
Awesome. And that makes me actually happy for you, because I was thinking to myself, that must be, if you couldn't, that would be like just a prison cell. You're like, it has to have a certain amount of truffle oil on it. The thing you just brought up, one with the restaurant you brought up, but also in one of your, you know, top 10 to be on the lookout for, is the fact that it isn't just about Milwaukee. Milwaukee is a great place, but you know, you talked about Hale's Corners, and one of the places you mentioned was a deli in West Dallas called Gus's Deli. I'm a deli enthusiast. And you know, what's it like to bring, just in the few minutes we have left, is like bringing that knowledge of outside the city limits to folks who may think, well, I'm not going to go all the way out to New Berlin, but there might be an amazing sushi place in New Berlin.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, that perception that all the cool hotspots are, you know, in Milwaukee or like the neighborhoods I brought up before. But you have to just go out and explore. And I'm still doing that too. I'm still very new in my role. and learning, you know, what a lot of the suburbs have to offer. And they really do. Like, another one of my favorite restaurants that opened up last year is called The Inn, and it's in Heartland.
Oh,
absolutely fantastic place. Incredible pizza, really good handmade pasta, just a beautiful, beautiful space. Like, so don't count those places out.
Absolutely. And I would say, you know, like for me, I always take friend recommendations. You know, and if you try it, you don't like it, then you don't go back. But like those places, especially like in the Heartland, where they're just doing a thing. They're like, yeah, we make the pasta. Okay, what do you want to order? Like, it's, there can be pretense around food, but then there are people out there who just make the food because that's how they do it, and it's amazing. And they're like, all right, I got to get back to the kitchen. Thank you for your thanks. I appreciate you. But like, that's really cool. So I really appreciate your time, Rachel, today. I really appreciate you coming on, talking about the job, and love to have you back to maybe just, you know, talk about what you're seeing in the months ahead and get people exposed to what's going on. And yeah, Rachel Bernhard is the food critic, the dining critic at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She has been our guest today. And if you have any food thoughts, folks, send them our way. We're talking audio sorbet coming up in a little bit. We don't have to just talk about those things to do list. If you have restaurants that you want to share around the state, we'd love to hear from it. Rachel, thank you so much for your time. Have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You too.
Excellent. When we, as I said, after we come back from the bottom of the hour news, we'll be discussing what is your things to do list still happening, not being done in 2026. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Mid-Mornings on Civic Media. My name is Greg. I am your host. Stay tuned, stay informed, stay close. Welcome back to Mid-Mornings on Civic Media. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host, your buddy, your pal, the guy who you come to when you need me to help you move from your apartment to your house. But we are here today on the show until 11 a.m. But after we're done, don't worry. Got more programming coming your way after the 11 o'clock news. We've got Tom Hartman from 11 to 2. We have got Afternoons with John and Gordy from 2 to 5. And then Pete Schwabba and Nightlight from 5 to 8. And from what I understand, Calvin, by the way, is Sweet Kelby is on the boards. They have a guest at 5:35 today who I heard mixed opinions about. Do you know anything about the 5:35 guest on Nightlight this evening?
Yeah, I heard he's really lame.
Ouch!
I couldn't come up with something funnier. I'm sorry. I heard, in all reality, he is a fantastic, funny, entertaining person.
Oh, wow. That person would be me, Greg Bach. Thank you very much, Calvin. Good save, as they say in the kids' language. Yeah, I will be on Nightlight this evening at 5:30. If you want to check it out, you can listen to it live on terrestrial radio. If you can't get to a terrestrial radio, traditional radio system, you can always stream it by listening to it on the Civic Media app. That app for you today is absolutely free. It's actually free every single day. Download it wherever you get your apps to your phone or your device of choice. You can always stream music, talk. You can get news updates. You can text, call, leave a voice note for us. You can participate in our text to win contest. It's all right there on the Civic Media app. Download it right now today. It is absolutely free for you. And yeah, and really quick before we get into the bulk of audio sorbet today, Calvin, what do you have planned for the weekend? Anything exciting or fun or, you know, adventures in Western Wisconsin? Or I say Western Waukesha County?
No, not really. I'm going to finish the video game I'm playing.
What video game are you playing right now?
It's called Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. It is the 8th game in the Yakuza series.
Wow. See, yeah. I always think that I know anything about anything, and then you just said all of those words. I've never heard of the series, the game. There's 8 of them. My goodness. How much more do you have left to play?
I'll probably finish it tonight. I'd say I probably have 4 to 6 hours left. Maybe not quite that long. I don't know. I'm going to try to finish it tonight.
See, I was thinking you were like, oh, I like 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, like 4 to 6 hours. That would be another 3 to 5 days for me. So, well, I appreciate you telling us, and I wish you good luck on your quest mission plan. I don't know what you call them in the game, but.
Quest, yeah, that's probably an app description.
There we go. All right. Well, I'm glad you have a fun weekend ahead of you, and want to know what's going on for everyone on the weekend, specifically about, you know, the things to do list. You know, one of the things that I've personally can struggle with are getting chores done, getting errands run, getting the things that those little everyday things. And I made a list before the new year. We had off last week. We had a nice long break, and I made a list of things for myself to get accomplished. And I found that I did not get them done. And I want to know from you, do you have a list like that too? So for Audio Sorbet, we would love to know what is on your New Year's things to do list. Doesn't have to be a resolution. This is not about, we talked about that earlier in the week. It's not resolutions. It's not like, oh, quit smoking or, you know, finally do the thing. It's hey, you got a list of things to do. Are you going to knock them out this weekend? What's on there? For me, it's just running. I mean, Calvin, for me, it's always, I make a huge things to do list and everything takes no more than 2 to 10 minutes to do. But then I sit there and I look at it and I just let that list grow. How do you attack those sorts of, like, do you have a method of it? You just, you get it done, you get it done. Or what, do you have a method, Calvin?
Unfortunately, my method usually is let things accumulate until I'm overwhelmed by them and have to take care of them.
And then when you finally take care of them, it's all done in the course of like an hour. And you say to yourself, what? Why did I let that happen? Why did I let that go for so long?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and that's, I mean, I've talked about it before, and I think it's important. We tell ourselves to get things done, whether it's a big project or a small thing, and then we can say, oh, I do it later. And then before we know it, we've got either 20 things to do, or in my case last year, I had a garage cleaning project that I let lay for, I would say, the better part of a year, because every morning I'd wake up going, all right, it's 8 a.m., get myself awake, wake up my mind, then get out to the garage and do it all today. And then I came to the realizations, I can't think like that. Instead, what I did was I said, all right, I will do this project, but I will only work between 2 to 3 hours at a time. And I will just work. And when I am done, I'm done. And then I will leave it as it is, come back to it a day or two later. And everything I wanted to get done with the garage, I got done. But instead of pressuring, pushing, and making myself anxious about it for a day-long project, I got it done over the course of like 12 hours in over a week and a half. And it was still wonderful to look at. And I felt much better because I knew at the top, I'm like, all right, I'm going to just work for 2 hours. And then when about 2 hours was done, I was feeling a little tired. I'm like, all right, I'm finished. And I still felt as accomplished breaking it out over the course of days that I would have had I done it all in one day. Plus, I would have hurt far less. I don't know about you, Cal, but like for some reason, just any sort of physical activity nowadays, I wake up the next morning going, I just lifted a paint can. Why does my shoulder hurt? But that's the way I'm learning how to do it, is finding how I break down tasks and move forward. How do you do that? What's on your things to do list? How do you attack a list of errands or chores or projects? Cindy from Appleton is back on the show. Cindy from Appleton, hello again, my friend. What say you about your things to do?
Well, I'll just say to you, Greg, maybe your list is too long. Maybe you should just put like 2 items on it. Then it's not so overwhelming.
Yep.
It's so anxiety ridden. And mm-hmm. then you get those 2 done, then you start another 2 list. And you know what I mean? That way it doesn't overwhelm you. And I'm sort of that same way. I can't do a big list because then I just sit there and look at it and go, where do I start?
Yep.
So I just do a couple and then I get those done and then I move on from there.
Cindy,
but, you know, I have a list a mile long mm-hmm. and I just figure if I get one thing done a day, that's better than nothing. That's my motto. One thing a day is better than nothing.
I've got a list. Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all, Cindy. And what I try to do, because right now my things to do list is about 7 things and they're all involving leaving the house. So I get in my car today. I'm going to do this when I'm done here. I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to run some errands, get things done that require me to be out of the house. And then I'm going to come back here to the studio at Radio Park to do Nightlight with Pete Schwaba at 5:30. Tune in. But I don't disagree with you, Cindy. I feel like if a long list to do is something that just also gives you that sort of that place of, oh boy, just do 2 things. What are the 2 most important things? Or here's another point. What are the 2 things that you can get done the quickest, but then feel that accomplishment? Then you can move on to the next thing. Cindy, thank you. That's a very good piece of advice. All right, Cindy, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your time. Always love hearing from you. And yeah, I mean, that's, you have to find your path to getting things done. and you can't let anyone else tell you how to do things. I think that's also very important. Sue from Franklin, listening on WAUK, she says, not really a list, but trying to declutter, doing in small amounts. Did one shelf at a time of wine / drink glasses, done 2 out of 3, and have donated about 20 glasses and still have too many. I'm going to do the third shelf later. This morning, I cleaned under my sink and tossed / donated a lot. Why do we keep so much stuff? That, Sue, is a conversation that I think we could have every week. I think, you know, I've had this conversation with Jane. I've had this conversation with my mom, with my wife. I've had this conversation with friends. I think there's two sides to that story. One side is you have this sense of, well, you never know. We could use it. You never know. It could come in handy. You never know. I might need this down the road. And then you realize you've moved this item or thing 2, 3, and 4 times, have never used it once. And you say, let's just throw it out. Because one, sometimes it's things that have no more efficacy. They've rotted or they've spoiled or they just are not good anymore. But also it's just, you don't need to move everything all the time. If you haven't used it in like a year or 2 years, you probably won't use it again unless it's like a tool or something. So yeah, absolutely, Sue. It's important to do that thing of go through, clear the decks. And I think too, for me, like with the garage, I did it last year. So now every few weeks or once a month or every, you know, maybe once a quarter, I go through and I clean again. So that way I'm not building this up over years and I keep myself sane. And I think, you know, again, it's about attacking these projects, these things to do list with a sense of reality. But then when you've done them, give yourself the win, celebrate it a little bit, do whatever you need to do, but just feel good about the fact that you may have only gotten 2 things done, but you got them done. Terry, listening on WAUK, says, life can be overwhelming. I like your strategy. How to eat an elephant, one bite at a time. I have never heard that before, but I will take that. I will take that comparison and run with it, but that's absolutely true. Find that way, one bite, one step at a time, and I can't stress enough, celebrate those tiny wins. I'm trying to think of a very small thing to have done. Change a light bulb. How many times have you seen a light bulb in your house that's out? The house isn't dark. We're not in need. It doesn't matter. I'll do it later. I'll do it. And then all of a sudden, it's a month. Change the light bulb. And then tell yourself, I did that. And you feel good about it. And you move on to the next thing. But you should always, you know, I'm not telling you to ask for a ticker tape parade or like put it on social media or call someone and say, hey, this is I changed a light bulb. I'm amazing. But you should still always feel good about accomplishing something when in this world of mile-long to-do lists or people on social media who seem to be working from dusk till dawn or vice versa, and they're working all the time, that's not, it might be your style. Don't worry about them. Worry about yourself and get it done the way you see fit. Brett, listening in Brown Deer on WAUK, he says, now I'm the opposite. I like to get things done. Then I hit them all at once, but he says, I'm not normal. It's not a matter of normal, Brett, and I know you're smiling and laughing while I'm saying this, but it's how you get things done. Can you wake up at 6 a.m. and work tirelessly on a weekend, like a Saturday or a Sunday, and then by 8 p.m. you have accomplished everything you get done and you kick back and you enjoy whatever you want to enjoy? That's great. But I think that what we have to tell people is it's okay that you're not like that, or it's okay that you only did 2 things, or you only did a project for a couple hours, and you still get to kick back and enjoy your day. I believe you've earned it. So I believe that that's what you need to do to find your center, to find your peace when you're looking to attack those things to do list. Liz in Saukville, listening on WAUK, says, having updates done to our interior of our house, and my personal fave, booking a trip to the Mediterranean. There you go. Boom. I mean, that's the ultimate treat if you ask me. I mean, if you need someone to come with you, Liz, to help like carry your bags or grab your drinks, I'm always available, but we'll talk about that another time. But yeah, absolutely. Tell yourself, like, I'm going to do these 2, 3 things. Then I'm going to have some ice cream, or then I'm going to watch a show, or then I'm going to buy a little something for myself if I can afford it and it's feasible. Do those things. But I think that's as important, is that getting those things done is about also saying, I did this, and feeling good. And there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Nothing wrong with feeling good for what you've accomplished. But I appreciate everyone for texting in their thoughts, their ideas. Cindy from Appleton, your strategy on how to get things done. Eating elephants one bite at a time. Absolutely. Totally agree with you, Terry. And We appreciate you always listening and being a part of this. But when we come back, this shouldn't be a thing. What the Flock edition right here on Mid-Mornings on Civic Media. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned, stay informed, and stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Mid-Mornings on Civic Media. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host, your buddy, your pal, and the guy who really, really enjoys talking about fun news. And I'm really happy that you are here today, spending your time with us on the network. We are always able to be called, texted. You call 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. As we said before, after the show today, we've got Tom Hartman coming up from 11 to 2. Then we got John and Gordy in the afternoon from 2 to 5. And then we have Pete Schwaba with Nightlight from 5 to 8. And I will be the guest at 5:30 this evening. So if you want to listen to me talk about probably comedy and entertainment and making dumb jokes, more of the same of today, then tune in. You can listen on terrestrial radio. You can get the Civic Media app and you can stream it right there on the app right there. Absolutely free. But we'd love for you to stick around, be a part of the conversation and have great discussions with us. And again, always appreciate you being here. Thankful to everyone who texted and called in. We got the weekend coming up. It's Friday, but next week, Monday, it's going to be great, great show. We'll be talking to Miguel Aranda, who is running for Congress in the first district in Wisconsin that covers a lot of southeastern Wisconsin as far as Racine and Kenosha and western parts of Walworth and western Walworth County. But he will be here. He has announced he is running. He'll be talking about his campaign, why he is running, what brought him to the race, and what he sees as the important points to running for office here in Wisconsin in 2026. But that's going to be Miguel Aranda. And then in the second hour will be Dr. Kristen Lyerly. She has been out for a little while. We miss her dearly. She'll be back. And there's plenty to talk about. We're going to be spending some time talking about vaccines, changes of mind in the Trump administration regarding vaccines and the reaction, as well as how the state here in Wisconsin are preparing for that, the advice they're giving. But that will be in the second hour on Monday with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Civic Media's very own host of the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. You can find that here on the network. But don't go anywhere. We want you to stick around. We love having you around. But it is 10:54, almost 55, which means it is time for another edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing that should not be, you can go ahead and send it to Calvin and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. The email is still up and around and still able to be accessed. So if you have a This Shouldn't Be a Thing, a question, comment, guest idea, topic idea, email it. janesays@civicmedia.us. We'd love to hear from you. Today it is the What the Flock edition. This coming from Germany in DW.com. And I looked it up. It's Deutschwell. That's what DW stands for. Let's see here. Kieran Burke has the byline and it goes, bargain hunters, 50 sheep visit German supermarket. Holy God, there is a picture. Wow. That is intimidating. Around 50 sheep wandered into a penny supermarket in the small Bavarian town of Bergsen in southern Germany. The sheep lingered around the shelves and checkout area for about 20 minutes after they had strayed from their flock before entering the store on Monday. It's unclear how the sheep broke loose. My guess is that someone wasn't looking and they were looking at their phone and the sheep were like, let's make a break for it. Or Calvin, let's make a break for it. You're welcome. That's a pun. The sheep lingered. Thank you. The discount retailer has managed to turn the incident into something of a guerrilla marketing campaign, receiving a flood of responses on its Instagram page. That's awesome. It's in German. I can't read German. I love that. That's the way you do it. That's the way you absolutely do it. Speaking to Augsburger, it's a German newspaper, let's go with that. Jürgen Kips said he initially thought it was being pranked. I've never experienced anything like this before. I don't think many people have. I would say many people who own German supermarkets probably haven't been through this either, so you might be one of the first. I thought we were on candid camera. If you've never heard of that, folks, ask your meemaw or peepaw. During their short visit, the flock managed to cause a fair bit of mess. If they had to run to the right towards the fruit and vegetables, God forbid, you would have to be able to get them out. Kips goes on to say, getting the sheep to leave the supermarket premises took some doing, And they tried pushing them out, but basically they had to just bang loudly on the cash register, and the animals got startled and exited through the sliding glass door by the parking lot. But here's the problem. The sheep went in through or out through the indoor. Very disrespectful from the sheep, I must say. Very disrespectful. Must be kid sheep. Must be very youthful sheep, I must say. But yeah, that is all well and good. And the flocks, you know, didn't cause much damage and weren't there for long. And luckily, they made use of it. I would actually go on this. Penny Deutschland is the Instagram handle. They have 125,000 followers. That's pretty cool. But they've made good of it. They've made fun of it. They've had a good time. And hopefully they're selling more gift cards and energy drinks than ever. And that brings us to the end of another edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, I always want to thank all the people involved who do this and make this show happen. It is Calvin. It is Tucker. It is our traffic department. It is our engineers. They come together. They do all the things. And without them, I'm literally sitting in front of a microphone that does not work. So without them, there is no me. We want to thank everyone who called, texted, wrote in, everyone who participates in the show, people who just listening and watching, you're giving us your time. We truly appreciate you. We do not take it for granted. Without you, there is no us. So thank you for that. As I said before, Monday's show is going to be absolutely amazing. Miguel Aranda in the first hour talking about his run for Congress in the first district of Wisconsin. And then Dr. Kristen Lyerly in the second hour discussing vaccinations, new guidelines from Washington, and how parents, doctors, and the state of Wisconsin are reacting to those guidelines, how we are staying safe and staying healthy here in 2026. That's a great conversation. We're going to be having be a part of that as well. Again, thank you so much for your time, your energy, and your thoughts in our conversations here on this show. Don't go anywhere after the top of the hour news. We got Tom Hartman, and then great programming throughout the night, including me on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba at 5:35. Ask me any questions about comedy or entertainment you want. Listen in. We want to hear from you. Have a wonderful weekend. We hope you have a great one. If you're playing a video game, maybe you get it done in 9 to 12 hours, but still, we want you to have a safe, healthy weekend. Thank you so much. This has been Mid-Mornings on Civic Media. My name is Greg Box. Stay tuned, stay informed, stay close. Have a great weekend, friends.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.